The Whiz Kids had won it, Bobby Thompson had done it, and Yogi read the comics all the while. Rock and roll was being born, marijuana we would scorn, so down on the corner the national pastime went on trial. We're talking baseball, Klazuski, Campanella, talking
welcome
baseball.
Back in the Morning Hookup. Thanks for tuning in with us on a Tuesday. Also, thanks to our next guest for crawling out of bed early in the morning, because I know he doesn't have to really be at work until a few hours before game time when the Dogs take the field again tonight. Mr. Dixon, voice of the Salt Dogs. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I am phenomenal. It's hot, and we're playing baseball. That's it. Don't care.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome.
It got hot really fast because when we left for that road trip, it was not hot, and when we returned, not only was it hot, but it was scorching hot. But I guess it's baseball weather, right?
That's right. You wouldn't want it any other way. Hey, Dixon, I want to ask you before we get into the dog stuff. You're a big hockey fan. How'd you get into hockey? What was where was the love of hockey for you?
So when I was young, as you guys know, my dad's a sports writer in Dallas.
Yep.
And when I was young, he worked for the Dallas Morning News. And he covered the Dallas Mavericks primarily, but still had an interest in the Stars. And when, you know, we're talking when I was like 7, 8, 9 years old, when the Stars were pretty good, still in the shadow of that Stanley Cup championship in 99, they would, you know, routinely make the playoffs. And when they made the playoffs, my dad would let me stay up whenever they played to watch. So oftentimes it was Colorado. There were a couple of years where they played Anaheim, and I thought it was cool because I could stay up till, you know, 11 or 12 instead of going to bed at 9:30. So I just, through that, learned to love the Stars and learned to love playoff hockey more than anything, and my love for the game just grew from there.
I gotcha, man. Yeah, your love for golf has also grown, if I'm mistaken.
Yes, yep.
And you can blame that on the pandemic, is that right?
Yeah, pretty much, man. I had nothing else to do. I played golf in high school and stopped playing altogether. And then, you know, knew I wasn't coming up here last summer. So, like, what am I going to do? I'm not a broadcaster for a while. There were no sports in general, right?
Yep.
Like you could watch baseball during the day for a while. So it was a good socially distant sport. And got kind of expensive there for a while. And I talked to my dad. And he's like, why don't you just go work at a golf course so you don't have to, you know, pay to play. And I'm like, that's a great idea. So I took a job, actually, not joking, maybe 10 minutes south of where the Air Hogs used to play in our league. I played thousands of dollars worth of golf there for the better part of really 8 months before I came up here. So
wow. So the handicap is down to 2 is what you're saying.
2? Wow.
No, it's yeah, I got it down to 7.
Oh,
I got it down to 5.5 when I came up here, and then
whoa,
I got busy and I played a couple of rounds that were I think mid-80s, and a couple of those really good scores that I had from back when I was playing the most dropped out of my most recent 20. So
okay,
it's at 7 now. I honestly don't think I could break 85 going to play. I haven't touched the club in over a month, which is sad, but
we'll get out soon.
But I'm definitely at least I'm back into the game. I don't have to, you know, go through the growing pains of starting to play again. I got rid of that during the pandemic. So.
There you go.
We are we're talking to Michael Dixon, voice of your Lincoln Saw Dogs. Let's talk about the Dogs a little bit, man. Sitting 12-11 right now, just come off a series win against King County there. Give me your breakdown of the Dogs right now through 23 games. You've spent a lot of time with these guys. You know baseball. You get to talk to them. Strengths and weaknesses of what you're seeing right now.
Well, they've been really interesting, man. You mentioned 12-11, so they've got a winning record through 23 games, and the baseball season happens in a flash, and all of a sudden we're almost a fourth of the way through, and they're right there in the hunt. You know, they haven't played their way out of it, and they're a couple of games back of the division lead. But they've done that. The bullpen hasn't been very good. They've given up a lot of runs. And that's, you know, for one reason or another, so many runs that they can't keep giving up runs and that at that level, if that makes sense. Like, the numbers will have to get better. And pitching in general has been a struggle at times. It's been a struggle to get consistency from the starting rotation. Offensively, while they haven't hit very well this year, and they've really struggled, like specifically with the bases loaded. It's been amazing. I've never seen a team as snake bitten as this one with the bases loaded. They're still top three in walks. They're top three in on base, and that's more of an approach from Brett Jody and Tommy Gregg than anything else. And you really look at the peripherals and you say, hey, man, I think this team, if they regress like they should and they start driving in runs and collecting hits like they will because they'll just regress to the mean, there's only room for this team to get better. And I think 12 and 11 through 23 games, they've done that with a negative run differential. So, they've won a few of those closer games and some of the ones that they've lost have been lopsided losses. But, in the grand scheme of a 100-game season, you care about the wins and the losses. And they've got more than they've won more than they've lost, which is great. And the numbers would indicate, at least in my opinion, that they should get even better over the next couple of months. And that should put them firmly in a position to compete for a playoff spot down the stretch.
We're talking to voice of the Salt Dogs, Michael Dixon. And last Tuesday, there was an exciting situation that happened against the Apollos when the Dogs set the franchise record for bases stolen in a game, and it was 7. And, of course, you were on the call, and I feel like that's always probably really cool to, see a record be broken. And I was curious, Michael, like, do you have a list of the records next to you to know when they are broken at that second?
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, too, because they did the same thing on Sunday. They stole 7 more bases in a game. So it wasn't nearly as cool because second time they did it in a week. But, I think my brain is kind of trained to see an abnormal number in a game and wonder, okay, where does this rank? And I do have all the broadcasters before me and myself after 2019 have archived every season, and you have a list of the individual game records, the season records, the career records, and so you just kind of go there and peek at the list. And stolen bases kind of stuck out at me because maybe more so than anything, the Salt Dogs didn't steal many bases under Bobby Brown. So they've already stolen, I think, 38 this year. They stole 36 all of 2019. So that gives you an idea of just how much more they're running. And so, yeah, you see the 7, you go and you look at it and you say, that seems abnormal. And you see, yeah, they've never done that in a regular season game. They've done it once in a playoff game. But as you guys know, franchise records are almost always regular season only. And then beyond that, I think they gave up 5 home runs against Sioux City. That's a lot of home runs to give up in one game. And you go check, and sure enough, that tied a franchise record as well. So that's kind of how you keep track of that. Sometimes you miss things because, you can't be perfect because you do it all by yourself. But as long as you're kind of paying attention, you should be able to catch most of those kind of crazy games and crazy numbers that happen out of nowhere.
Speaking of records, I'm glad you brought that up, Will, because there are a few that I know that you're very aware of, and I'm wondering your thoughts and how you'll make the calls when they occur. And it's Kurt Smith. He's on the doorstep of a couple of franchise records, especially the home run. He's, what, 1 away from tying, 2 away from breaking it.
Yep.
I know you got that one. I get goosebumps thinking about that, by the way, because I know that you probably try to prepare yourself for that moment. Thoughts on that, and I hope he does it at home.
Yeah, well, it's funny. I try not to rehearse anything, but every single time he steps to the plate, like with every pitch, you got to be ready, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe if you listen, I sound like I'm calling game 7 of the World Series when Kurt's at the plate, because you have to be prepared for a moment like that. So I don't think I've rehearsed anything, and I don't want it to sound ridiculous, but you do hope he does it at home, because Kurt's about to leave us for about a week and go try and qualify for the Olympics down in Mexico with the Dutch national team. So Kurt's got, I think, 3 games. I think he's leaving this upcoming weekend, maybe Saturday. So he's got 3 chances against Houston to tie it or, break the record of 91. Brian Warner had 90 his first 7 years. So you really hope he's able to get it done here pretty soon, because if not, we could go, you know, 3 weeks without Kurt really having much of a chance to do it at home. And after the three games this week, it's a weekend series at Sioux City. He won't be here the next week when we've got six at home, and then we're on the road for six. And in general, on the road a lot in July. So you sure hope he does do it at home. That'd be really cool. He knows. He's prepared, and we'll see what he's got for us this week.
Yeah, speaking of one that I know you, it's, you know, those plays when they happen that you can't rehearse. What was the excitement level when you seen Justin Bird going to the catch? The SportsCenter top 10, by the way, number two on the list. What was that like, man? Because I saw it in my level was like, holy Christmas. I don't know. It's just it was an incredible play.
It was insane. It was insane no matter the level, right? Yep. It's one of the best catches I've ever seen. I actually lost that ball in the clouds or the sky, and that's that weird time of night where it's still pretty bright at the ballpark, mm-hmm. but the sun's starting to fade a little bit. And I try not to get too repetitive with, like, foul balls are tough because there's only so many different ways you can describe a foul ball without getting ridiculous. And I just thought that when I kind of lost it, I was tracking him, and I was ready to just say, you know, foul ball up and out of play. And I kept watching him, and all of a sudden I realized that he's putting his cleat on the basically midway up that chain link fence between the field and the bullpen. And he sort of uses that to vault like a gymnast and go up and get the ball in midair while also flipping over the fence. If you haven't seen it, you can see it on our Twitter. It's truly an incredible play. But I was totally unprepared for that because I lost the ball and was sure that it was well out of play. And you know, Bill, you played baseball. Mm-hmm. You know that you've got to see the ball to the you know, to the stands or whatever, as long as you possibly can. You see it all the time. So I just thought he was doing that. Next thing you know, he made a ridiculous catch. And then it was all about getting that highlight to SportsCenter as soon as we possibly could because we wanted to feature that night. And saw it that night as the number three play. And it's always cool when the Salt Dogs get national recognition like that.
Yeah, I saw that there was like over, was it 6,700 fans there on Friday?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was a huge crowd. It was the annual summer reading program. So all the kids that are doing the summer reading program with LPS, they get a free ticket for that day. So
very cool.
Last year, I think, or 2019, we had 7,900. So I still think there's a little, you know, COVID hesitancy in general. But yeah, 6,700 in the ballpark's a good way to feel like things are back to normal. And you know, there's some nights where there aren't a ton of people there, and there are nights where there are, and you always love nights where, you know, the Salt Dogs pack them in. And Lincoln's also leading the league in attendance through basically a month, which is really cool, too.
So you guys got another three-game home series starting today, and obviously the Heat is picking up right during this series. And I'm curious, do you keep the window open during these games?
Yeah, I do. I've got a nice. I've got an AC that's cranked down to about 65 during the day, so it's really not that bad for me. It might be a little hot, might be a little stuffy, but I've had my girlfriend with me over the last few days, and she's requested up in the booth that the AC stay on. So we've had the AC cranking, and that might have been costing the Salt Dogs a few extra dollars, but. At least she was happy, and I'm definitely happy, too. So,
sorry, Charlie. AC's been on full blast for the last few games.
Yeah, he'll look at the electricity bill, and he'll be able to tell which weekend Alexis was here. So,
that's awesome. Hey, hey, Dix, when you look at this team, and obviously just the way it got put together, and Coach Jody, you know, coming in late in the process, have you been able to identify what you think the identity of the Dogs are yet?
Yeah, I mean, I try to stay away from cliches and stuff like that, but, man, they're just kind of scrappy, right? They aren't the most talented team. They've got, you know, their best pitcher, Johnny Barbado, got picked up quickly. A lot of really good arms in the league have gotten picked up immediately by major league clubs, and I don't know why that is. I couldn't tell you why, but for whatever reason, pitching's been really difficult to sustain if you've been good because you've been losing guys left and right to big league clubs. I think Cleveland's lost like four or five already. And you got to fill those guys with rookies because you're still waiting for the draft in mid-June. So they've been scrappy. They haven't released a player. They haven't signed a player since day one, which is really unique. We've gone almost a month, and that's partly because Brett wants to give these guys time to sort of figure out what that identity is, and also because there aren't a whole lot of upgrades out there right now. That's a whole other discussion for another time. But they steal a lot of bases. They manufacture runs really well. The one thing they don't do very well, again, was hit with the bases loaded. But even if they're not driving in, you know, two runs with a double or clearing the bases with the ball down the line, they're still, you know, working bases loaded walks. They lead the league in sacrifice flies, right? Mm-hmm. So those are important runs that add up after a while. And they do a really good job of just figuring out other ways to score runs without, you know, huge lopsided innings. And, you know, they're middle of the pack in terms of runs scored and a lot of offensive categories. And they do that by just adding up runs throughout the night, right? They're not going to score 5, 6, 7 runs, or at least they have it routinely in one inning. But they'll get a run in the first. They'll get two in the third. They'll get one in the sixth, one in the seventh. Next thing you know, you're at 5 runs, and you're in every ball game playing that way. So they're just scrappy. They love playing for each other, I think. They love playing for Brett. And the mood in the clubhouse is great. It's really going to suck to lose Kurt for a week. But I think that for the most part, the Salt Dogs are in a pretty good spot right now. And I think really it can only get better.
Hey, come more for get you out of here, man. Obviously, the Dogs got a 3-game homestand coming up, or finishing up a homestand Tuesday, Wednesday. Special time on Wednesday, daycare day, 12:05 first pitch, by the way, for everyone out there with tickets and needing a day off on a Wednesday, with it being 100 degrees. I want to ask you a few fun ones, by the way. What can you tell us about the standoff ejection the other night with Hoency and De Leon?
I actually have no idea. It totally caught me by surprise. It was obviously fun for you know, for the guys to do that. They do it, you know, a few times every year to try and keep things light. They also do it in hockey with the last off after warm up. So it's just stuff like that over the course of a long season that keeps you engaged, keeps everything fun, keeps everything light. I know that obviously Hoency and De Leon were teammates at Nebraska, so I'm sure that's not a coincidence that those two were the ones who both got ejected. I haven't seen Jake really since then. I haven't had a chance to talk to him, so I don't really know. I think it's just something that's fun. You know, it's a couple of relievers, so you should be able to get through the day without it, or without, you know, without them. Hopefully, you don't need them to come in and pitch game one of a series, and you know, you'll be all right. But I think it was more so than anything, just lighthearted fun. I don't know if they went just flat out too far and the umpires were within their right to eject them, or if, you know, the umps kind of want to make it about themselves every once in a while. I can't speak on that either, but I think a lot of people got some laughs out of it. And I'm just glad that someone in the ballpark was paying attention and sent me a text, because I had no idea what was happening.
I just see it being one of those things, being teammates. They're like, hey, I haven't seen you in a while. Let's do this and see how far we can take it. And if it doesn't work out for us, I'll meet you upstairs.
Exactly. And we'll have a couple of beers and watch the game on stream, or maybe not watch the game, whatever.
Yeah. Hey, also, by the way, I know this is something I talked about the other day about, because I, you know, I go to a lot of the dog games. My 10-year-old is one of the bat boys. He hangs out and does that stuff. But
awesome.
Something I didn't realize, and Coach Todd, by the way, helped me out with this, is when there's a catcher-pitcher meeting, that the umpires now follow them to the mound. I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a mound visit thing. So you're allowed only one mound visit. As you guys know, you're only allowed one mound visit per pitcher before you have to, per inning, before you have to take the guy out. So to try and speed up the games, which I guess hasn't worked because the Salt Dogs now have a routine of playing 3.5 hours.
Yes.
But to try and speed up the games, used to the mound visit, you know, you could visit on the mound with players and the catcher as much as you wanted. But if the manager came out, that's what or the coach came out, that's what warranted a mound visit. Now, those mound visits can only entail discussions about signs. Anything else warrants a mound visit, right? So that's why the umpire follows out, because he's not, you know, trying to usher things along or anything like that. He's just making sure that what they're talking about falls within, you know, not being a mound visit. So if they talk about more than the signs, if they talk about the alignment or the catcher's just out there trying to keep the pitcher engaged and you know, keep his nerves at bay, that's when you'll see the umpire either acknowledge that a mound visit occurred and the next time that there's a mound visit, the reliever must be removed, or there was no mound visit and there's still, you know, one MB left. So that's what that is. I was confused at first too, and Brett had to explain that one to me pretty early on. So it's really just they're just trying to follow suit with what we're seeing across Major League Baseball and affiliated minor league baseball as well.
Also, you probably didn't catch this, but I can send you a video. When you're there in between innings, the Saw Dogs fans are amazing because they point out things on other teams that they might see or they might have conversations. I'm not sure. Did you happen to catch every time the third base coach for Kane County, when he strolled across the field? Did you see his technique of running?
No, I don't think I did.
Leaning forward, his hands are like paddles. He doesn't know what to do with them, and they're just straight.
And he just takes off.
And he just like, I don't...
He's like the dragon, the dragon.
He's like
ball.
The Sasquatch running across. He's leaning forward, and his legs aren't moving. He's not very flexible, and he's got paddles. I'm going to send you the video, because it is...
I couldn't
stop watching this after it was pointed out to me. And the Dogs fans pointed it out and started yelling at him. I don't know what to do with my hands!
I don't pay. I should pay more attention to what's happening in the ballpark in between.
Well, you're busy. You're calculating. Yeah, so I know what you're doing up there. I know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Well, when he's got his girlfriend up there with him.
Yeah, I mean, how's the temperature? Can I get you a water? Can I get, you know, beverage? I get it. I know what you're doing right now during breaks.
You got it. Yeah, of course. Fair enough.
All right. Dixon, man, we appreciate you, man. Keep doing what you do, man. I can't wait to see you at the ballpark.
Good luck on the call tonight, man.
Absolutely, guys. Thank y'all so much.
See ya.
Michael Dixon right there, voice of your Lincoln Salt Dogs, man. Tune in. And we are your home of the Lincoln Salt Dogs right here on ESPN 1480, man. You catch every game right here. Hear that precious voice of Michael Dixon.
That's right. Yep. We got about 2 minutes left. So, Kurt, he goes down to play in
He's going to Mexico, and they qualify. They're trying to qualify.
And I
think it's for the Netherlands, right? So he'll be gone for like a week.
Okay. And is it baseball or softball?
Baseball.
It is baseball?
Yep.
I thought I saw it was like softball.
It is baseball.
Okay.
So he'll take off for a week and we'll be without, you know, your clubhouse leader for a week. So that'll be a little tough for the Dogs not have that you know, that leader in there, you know, walking the clubhouse, the positive guy.
Yeah.
Within there.
Yeah. Hey, I didn't know that. They stole seven more. On Sunday.
Seven more.
So that's
an aggressive team, man.
Maybe that's their identity. They're quick.
Yeah, they're quick, man. They're aggressive. So, coming up here after the break, coming up, we have West Training at 10. We have some fun stuff at West Training at 10 today.
Yeah, I'm already finding a lot.
Yeah.
By the way,
I sent you that other audio from the U.S. Open that we had talked about, the possibility. Probably not going to happen.
No. Never say never.
Never say never. But
money
we'll
changes
play that.
Everything. Money
also,
changes everything.
There was a monster dunk last night we'll talk about and get a reaction from one of the NBA's best in a press conference.
I almost wore my Kawhi jersey today.
Yeah.
I almost wore it.
And then we'll have Brian Munson, HuskerOnline.com, talking about our new quarterback commit and also the transfer cornerback out of Ohio State.
What do we know? Let's talk to Brian, the guy who actually knows.
Yeah, what do we know?
The guy who actually knows things about recruits. Talk to him,
and then we'll bring him back. We'll have a weather report coming at the top of the hour as well.
Wait, what's that supposed to, are you legit? Oh no, you're talking about right. Okay, yeah,
weather report. Let you know how the day's going to go for you. So let's take a break right now. We come back. What's your name?